Spirit, the Holy Spirit may be guiding you or leading you, because, you know, when we do it God's way, you're always going to experience the goodness, the blessings of our Lord. Amen. So I want to go ahead. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters that are gathered in this very place, knowing that our time is in your hands. And Father, as we choose to live according to your word, Father, I know, Lord, your abundance of your blessings will take place. Father, you will show how pleased you are when we choose to live according to your directions, according to your guidance, according to your instructions that are all found in that book of life, the book of life we call the Bible. So Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit will just speak to us as your word is spoken, so that we can truly receive all the goodness that you desire for our lives. Father, we come with hearts fully submitted to you now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, as you all may well know, you know, my mom passed away last week. And in the last service, my brother, Pastor Walton, preached a sermon entitled Stronger Than Death, which made us realize that as Christians, death has lost what? Its power. It's lost its sting, because we know we're going to see our loved ones once again. Amen. You know, in the course of this past week, I have received many condolences and word of sympathies from many of you and others who have brought me great comfort and peace. I just heard the words of such great sympathy, just telling me, don't worry, Ben, you know, we know that your mom is in good hands. We know that your mom is with the Lord. And that's the phrase that we hear often, right? That we know, I've used it in the past in consoling other believers. You know, that very phrase, hey, she's in a much better place now. She's in heaven. And you know, these very words can soothe the most grievous heart, especially when there are times when, yeah, you truly miss the loved one that is no longer here. I mean, I haven't come to, I guess, total, I guess, acceptance of it yet, because sometimes, you know, I'll tell, you know, John or Lee or the kids, okay, let's go visit grandma. And I go, wait a minute, grandma's not here anymore. But you know, that's the thing, right? We know my mom is in the holy presence of God, holding on to the very hand of Jesus. And when I just fix my mind on that, when you guys remind me of that, you know, I remember, yeah, mom is in her eternal home now. And I think that's the thing. We fix our minds on where our loved one is. That's what brings us peace. Amen. That's what brings us comfort. So much so, I have included it in our sermon series. And we know our sermon series is called The Ultimate Guarantees of God. So today we're going to discuss a few of the things that God guarantees us in heaven when we are there, because there are guarantees when we actually will be in heaven one day. You know, to me, when someone says that my mom is in heaven, what that really means to me is that she is with Jesus. That's all that it means, because, you know, if she's not with Jesus, she could be in a place called heaven, but Jesus is not there. Hey, is that any good? We want Jesus to be the very one, knowing that he is the one holding the very hands of our loved one. You know, in the book of Revelation chapter 21, John tells us in his vision that our eternal home of heaven for all believers, you know what it's called? It's called the New Jerusalem. That is our final destination. And we know it's going to happen sometime in the future, because it's not there yet. And in order for this to happen, a series of events must take place. Well, Jesus, first of all, he has to come back. I mean, in his second return, right? And you know what's going to happen to us, right? The church. We're going to be raptured, and we're going to be going where Jesus will take us for eternity. And then there's going to be the thousand-year reign of Christ, which is also called the millennium, and upon which Satan will be bound. And after the millennium comes the great white throne judgment, and God, you know what he's going to do? He's going to destroy this present earth, and then this will happen. I want you to look in your notes. Look at Revelation 21, 1 to 3. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the what? That's our eternal home, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. So I want you to really get this, brothers and sisters. So you could say our immediate destination, in other words, a few seconds after a believer dies, after their physical death, right? Guess where they're going? I believe they're going to heaven, right? In the presence of Jesus, okay? But our final and eternal destination, yes, it's also heaven. But guess what? It's the new heaven. It's called the New Jerusalem. And that hasn't taken place yet. But that will be our final eternal place where we're going to spend eternity. And I don't know about you guys, we're going to have great parties up there. We're going to celebrate. We're going to have such a wonderful time knowing that we're going to be forever in the presence of Jesus. So today we're going to take a look at what we can expect in our eternal home. Because guess what? We're all going to be there because our hearts belong to Jesus. So here's a question. What are we as believers guaranteed about our eternal home, which is heaven, right? When we are actually there. Well, look at number one. It says, in heaven, we are guaranteed eternal comfort as we are forever free. Everyone say free. Free. We're free from pain and suffering. You know, in heaven, you're not going to miss your old life on planet Earth. You're going to experience perfect comfort at all times in our Father's house. Let me ask you something. Have you ever bought an economy ticket for an airplane flight, but because of overbooking, you've been upgraded to first class? That ever happened to you? I know that happened to me. I'm not supposed to get first class, but, oh, Mr. Ewan, you're going to go first class because we're overbooked. Oh, shoot. You know what I mean? Who's going to turn that down, right? But did you regret the upgrade? Did you spend your time wondering, as you're sitting in first class, right? Are you sitting in your first class seat? Yeah, I wonder what I'm missing in the back of the plane. Would you ever think like that? Why would you do that, right? And in first class, you have the comforts of a wider and fluffier chair, right? It's comfortable. It's leather, right? Along with much more leg room to stretch. You also got an upgrade of a much more elegant and exquisite dining experience. I know when I was going to college, when I remember I had an upgrade, I'm not kidding. They were serving filet mignon. Oh, shoot. You know, I'm not supposed to get this one. I didn't complain. I go, yeah, I want more of this, you know, or is it shrimp, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, it's an upgrade, right? And we're happy when we get upgrades. And I want you to really understand the upgrade from earth to heaven will be vastly superior that from economy to first class. I mean, you cannot compare. This is vastly superior because when we are in heaven, you're not going to go, well, I missed those days when I was back on earth. Come on now. You're not going to do that. You know, here's the thing. On earth, right, you may wish that that annoying, painful pimple on your forehead will go away. You know, that pimple will not even exist in heaven. Just like bucket seats, right? They're not going to exist there. You're going to have first class leather seats. That's how it's going to be in heaven, because you're there because God knew how much you loved him while you were here on this planet Earth. And he wants to reward you. He wants to bless you. He wants his goodness to shine forth in your life. And here's the thing. We may, you know, miss our, you know, are some of the things that we had while we were here on this planet Earth. I know, like, you may think, okay, what about my favorite foods? You know, like, for me, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to have Lao Lao and Pokey and, you know, strawberry slushy. You know, these are things, comfort food for me, right? And I wonder if we're going to have any in heaven. I believe this. God, because he wants us to experience the fullness of his, I want to say fullness. Fullness of his blessings. Whatever your heart's desire, I believe. It's okay, Lao Lao Ben. Poof, right there. There your Lao Lao, Ben. Oh, enjoy. You know, here's 2 pounds of pokey for you, Ben. Can you imagine? I mean, it sounds kind of funny, but the very fact, hey, God loves us. He gives us what our hearts desire because he knew our hearts belong to him. And you know, God desires to bless us beyond measure. I want you to read that scripture with me in Psalm 37:4. Ready? Go. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. And you can count on the very fact that as you know, you're going to take delight in the Lord. In heaven, it's all going to be about Jesus. Guess what? Because you have perfect delight in the Lord, guess what? He's going to give you whatever your heart desires. And can you just imagine God doing this because he loves you that much? And you can count on the very fact that things are going to be run differently in heaven than on earth. I want you to read with me what it says in Revelation 21:4. Ready? Go. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. An old order of things that have passed away. And guess what? This is the order right now. You may think, okay, it's so good for me right now. I like my life. Well, this is still going to be the old order when you're in heaven. I mean, God says, you ain't seen nothing yet. When you're in heaven, I believe the colors is going to be so vibrant, colors you've never seen before. I mean, you're going to be constantly just walking in just great excitement, just great astonishment. You're going to go, wow. That's the kind of experiences we're going to have in heaven. And I believe it's every day you're going to go, wow, awesome. You know, it's just like, I mean, your heart is just going to be bursting, you know, with just wonder and excitement. Just imagine the very fact, you know, that there's not going to be any more emotional or physical pain. It's going to be a thing of the past. You're not going to have depression, anxiety, or worry. None of that. That doesn't exist in heaven. Can you imagine living like that? Someone say, I don't know, that's kind of hard to believe. Well, yeah, in heaven it is possible because you're going to be in the perfect presence of the Lord. No pain. That includes all the worry, anxieties, and depression. No more. No more sickness and disease. The aging process will stop. You don't have to look in the mirror every morning. Oh, you get a new wrinkle on my eye or what? You know, you don't have to worry about that. The aging process will stop. This is what the scriptures tell us. And you're never going to have to worry about losing a loved one again. Think about that. All the loved ones that you're going to be with in heaven, you're not going to have to worry, okay, I wonder if something's going to happen to them. Are they going to die? Or something, you know, is going to happen where they're going to get an illness. No, this doesn't happen in heaven. There's no disease. There's no sickness in heaven. But in heaven, you got to understand, we're still going to experience emotions, because if we're not going to have emotions, we become robots. You want to be like a robot? No, in heaven, we're still going to have emotions. You know, in scripture, God, he is said to enjoy. He talks about the very fact that he loves to laugh. He loves to love. And he takes delight and he rejoices. And he can be angry, but he can be happy and glad. And to be like God means to have and express emotions. Because some people believe, say, you know, in heaven, you're not going to have any emotions. You're just going to be sitting around, blah, like this. Like, no, no, you're going to have great emotion. But it's always going to be so much joy that will fill you in heaven. And so hence, we should expect that in heaven, emotions will exist for God's glory and for our good. And we know that people in heaven, they have lots of feelings, okay? But it's going to be all good ones. You're not going to have any negative emotions. It's all going to be positive. And you know, the Bible, it talks about the fact in heaven, we're going to have all kinds of banquets, feasts, and singing. People will laugh there all the time because there's just so much joy there. This is what Jesus says in Luke 6:21. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be what? Satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, right? For you will what? You will laugh. You may weep now while you're here on this planet Earth, But guess what? In heaven, there's only great laughter. There's only great joy. That's your only option. There's no other options, you know? And someone may ask, so are we going to be able to cry in heaven then? Well, the Bible says, right? We just read that scripture. It says he will wipe away every what? Wipe away every tear from their eyes. Yeah, we still may be able to cry, but if you do cry, you're going to wipe it away, right? There'll be no longer any death. There'll be no longer any mourning or crying or pain. Can you imagine just living a life? I mean, it's a real life that we're going to be living just like that. But here's the thing. When we talk about these kinds of tears, we're talking about tears of suffering over sin and death, tears of the oppressed people and the cries of the poor, of the widow, the orphan, and the unborn, and the persecuted. Guess what? Such crying will no longer take place because you're not going to have any of these things in heaven. One thing, though, we might have tears of joy, because I'm going to tell you, I just might have some tears forming in my eyes when I see Jesus for the first time. I don't know about you. I'm going to meet him for the first time. And he's there. He's saying, "Son, welcome. I've been waiting for you." I'm just talking about right now. I feel tears forming in my eyes because those are tears of joy. Because that's one thing we're looking forward to. We're going to spend eternity with God, just being filled with his joy. Amen? I want you to look at point number two now. It says, in heaven, we are guaranteed to never experience what? Boredom. You're not going to be bored. Okay? Because I got to tell you, okay, there's this pastor and Christian author. You may have heard of him. His name is Randy Alcorn. And he once told about his conversation with another pastor. Yes, I'm talking another pastor. Just listen. He says this. He says, "I once heard a pastor make a startling confession. He says, whenever I think about heaven, it makes me depressed. I'd rather just cease to exist when I die." What? This is a pastor talking. And Pastor Randy responds, "I try not to show my shock as I ask him, why?" And he says, this is the pastor talking. He says, "I can't stand the thought that I will forever float around in the clouds with nothing to do but strum a harp. It's all so terribly boring. Heaven doesn't sound much better than hell." Can you imagine this? And Pastor Randy asks him, you know, "So where did this Bible-believing, seminary-educated pastor get such a view of heaven? Certainly not from the scriptures where Paul said to depart and be with Christ was far better than staying on earth. And yet, though my friend was more honest about it than most, I found that many Christians shared the same misconceptions about heaven." Okay, this is something that we know a lot of people believe, that when we die, we become angels. Okay, no, okay. But first of all, I want to tell you, many people picture heaven as a never-ending, uninspiring church service in the sky. That's what they think it is. Heaven, there's going to be like church services 24/7 all the time. You're just going to be attending church service, and it's uninspiring, it's boring, and you got to just sit through it every day, right? Or they think that we all become angels who just drift and mosey around on clouds in long white gowns, right, playing harps all day long. Neither of these make eternity seem very appealing. And I'm going to tell you, both are completely inaccurate. And I can assure you, that ain't going to happen, because angels are created beings, as we are created beings, but we're not going to become angels, okay? But here's the thing. There's this science fiction writer. His name is Isaac Asimov. And he expressed the attitude many have about heaven when he wrote this. Just listen. He says this. He says, "I don't believe in the afterlife, so I don't have to spend my whole life fearing hell or fearing heaven even more. For whatever the tortures of hell, I think the boredom of heaven would be even worse." What? I mean, where do people get ideas like this, that heaven is a boring place? Well, first of all, I want you to understand, like I said earlier, we won't become angels. Just get that out of your mind, okay? We're not going to be sitting on clouds, strumming harps, and having little wings on our back like this, and bring, and just doing that all eternity. No. Because many people, especially children, right, believe that we become angels when we die. I mean, you ask little kids, they will tell you this, and probably they got it from watching these TV programs that make us believe that. So here's the thing I want you to understand. With death, I'm talking about our physical death, right? There is a relocation of the same person from one place to another. We don't become something different, okay? Because some other religions, right? You say, oh, you could become a dog, or you could become a cockroach, right? They talk about reincarnation. No, this is not what we believe, okay? So it's just like a relocation that we will go from one place to another. Our spirit, our soul, will go to this place where God has prepared for us. And the place changes, right? But the person remains the same. And the same person who becomes absent from his or her body becomes present. Everyone say present. Present with the Lord. So you're relocated and you're going to be with Jesus. So you can count on the fact when you take your last and final breath on this planet Earth, because everyone will. There's no one that is excluded from this, okay? That when we take our last and final breath, boom, we're going to be in the very arms of Jesus. You can count on that. I want you to read with me what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. For we live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or at or away from it. So we're talking about our spirit man that's in us. When the spirit man is in us, we're alive, right? We're walking on this planet Earth. But when our spirit man is away, that means our spirit is no longer in our bodies. We're with Jesus, okay? That's the most important thing to remember for those who believe in him. And but, you know, I can tell you, people sometimes, they tell me, but pastor, you know, I'd rather be having a good time in hell than be bored in heaven. And, you know, some people, they like to party and, you know, do all the very things that we know are worldly, right? And they say, no, I heard in hell you're going to have many the kind of parties where you're going to have so much fun. And, you know, the assumption is that sin is exciting and brings fulfillment and righteousness is boring. Okay, that's what some people believe. And believing in this assumption means that you've fallen. You've fallen for the devil's lies. Because the devil will tell you, hey, don't do like those Christians. Do like the world. Just look at them. They're laughing. They're having such a wonderful time. Just join them. But we know this is something that we are not called to do. We're called to be examples of Jesus Christ. Amen? And you know, think about this. Adam and Eve, they bit into this lie, didn't they? And see where it got them, okay? And the rest of humanity, because of what they did, we got to have to suffer too now, okay? But in reality, we got to understand sin robs us of fulfillment. Sin doesn't make life interesting. It makes life empty. And you're going to be empty of the presence of God when you keep choosing to let sin take a hold of you. You keep doing the very things that you know displease God. You're going to be empty of the presence of the Lord. Amen? So we got to say, no, I'm not going to receive that. No, Lord, I just want more of you. I want you to look what it says here in Psalm 16, verse 11. Read it with me. Ready? Go. You reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is what? Abundant joy. In your right hand are what? Eternal pleasures. And guess what? God has it. He's eternal pleasures. He wants to give it to you abundantly, starting right now. Because your eternity is not, it doesn't start when you get to heaven. No, it starts right now. Because your life belongs to him right now. So he says, I want to just lay it. There's these eternal pleasures in your life because your heart belongs to me. Isn't that good to know? Everything that is good, enjoyable, and refreshing, fascinating, and interesting is derived from God. You know, God promises that we will laugh, we will rejoice, and we're gonna experience endless pleasures in heaven. They're just gonna keep coming. I'm gonna tell you, in heaven, the pleasures will just keep coming. You know, you're never gonna get bored in heaven. And to be in the presence of God, I want you to understand, is the very opposite of boredom. If you're in the presence of God, you're never gonna get to a point where, you know, you're gonna, when is this gonna end? No, it ain't gonna happen. You're gonna be so filled with great excitement. And that's what God promises us, amen? So what else are we gonna do in heaven? Because we're not gonna be bored, right? Well, I want you to understand this. You know, many people, they don't think of heaven as a place of work, but they think of it as a place of rest, right? You think, oh, when I'm in heaven, just like I retire, right? I'm gonna do nothing. I'm gonna sit in the hammock. I'm just gonna get my hands in the back of my head and just gonna sleep all day and do nothing. Who wants to do that in heaven? But you know, you gotta understand, work and heaven, I gotta tell you, it's something that God knows that we are to be productive people. Amen? He created us to produce. And I wouldn't want to spend eternity with nothing to do because, yeah, God made us to be productive people. I want you to look what it says here in Revelation 22. Read that with me. Ready? Go. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall what? Serve him. Who are God's servants? We are. I gotta tell you, I love serving the Lord. I keep telling Charlie, I can't imagine not serving the Lord in this life and beyond. The more I find opportunities to serve God, I gotta tell you, I get more joy. Seriously, the more I have opportunity to serve, to tell people about Jesus Christ, the more joy fills my heart. I just want to keep on serving him. Because I can only tell you, if I were to stop, man, I'd be bored to death. I'd be like, man, what now? You know, I got a job, I got all these other things, but what about serving the Lord? That's what gives me the fullness of joy. And you can imagine, that's what we're going to be doing forever, okay? When it concerns serving the Lord, God, he desires us to serve him forever. And in heaven, we're going to be giving ourselves fully in the service of the King. I mean, you're not going to grumble. You're not going, okay, now what I got to do for Jesus? No, every day you're going to say to him, reporting for duty, Lord Jesus, what can I do for you? You know, you're going to have such zeal in your heart to say, Lord, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And we're going to discover new gifts, new interests. We're going to have new pursuits, yes, in heaven. We're going to have new responsibilities and exercise positions of authority. Did you know that? Do you know the Bible says we're going to be leaders of many nations in heaven? We're going to have positions of authority. People don't understand it. It's in the Bible. We're going to be chosen by God to take leadership positions so we can lead others. And whatever you're doing here on this planet Earth, I got to tell you, God, he's observing you right now. And whatever you're doing for him right here, right now, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be magnified even so many times over in heaven. Because he realizes you've been faithful to him while here. Now he says, okay, I'm going to give you even greater responsibilities in heaven. And just imagine this. This is what we're going to be doing. And, you know, the idea of working in heaven is so foreign to so many people, yet the Bible clearly teaches it. One example here, Genesis 2:15. Won't you read it with me? Ready? Go. The Lord God took the man, who's the man? Adam, right? And put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Wow. Yeah, he put Adam to work right away after he was made, he was created. He said, okay, now this is your work. You got to tend the garden, right? Work was part of the original Eden. It was part of a perfect human life. Because you got to understand, when Adam was created, It's supposed to be a perfect human life. I mean, you're not supposed to have any stress. I mean, and imagine, Adam, he was supposed to have it all. You know, he was supposed to have just a wonderful time, just enjoying all of God's creation. It was supposed to be a perfect human life. Yet, he had to work. And I want you to understand, God himself is a worker. Did you know that? He didn't create the world and say, okay, I'm going to retire now. No, he rested after he created all that he saw was good, right? But he knew that that wasn't the end. All right, I want you to look what it says here in John 5:17, because this is what Jesus says. Read it with me. Ready? Go. My Father is what? Always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. See, Jesus loves to work. Father God loves to work. And guess what? He loves for you to work too. When you do it all for his glory, you please him. You know, because for some of us, if we just like to just sit down and do nothing all day long, God says, so are you going to do any of the things I called you to do? Because there are many things. And if we just sit around and do nothing all day, we're not being productive for the Lord. Amen? And we got to understand, Jesus, he found great satisfaction in his work. I want you to look what it says here in John 4:34-35. Read it with me. Ready? Go. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to what? Finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. And Jesus had to tell, you know, his disciples and the people, look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. And he could be talking about people who are hungry for the word of God. Look, they're ready. Just don't sit around and think, okay, somebody else will do it. You go out. Look at the fields. They are ripe. And sometimes we choose not to look at the harvest because guess what? But I'd rather go sit in my hammock. I'd rather go lie down and just take it easy. And I'm going to tell you, you may be missing out on so many things that God desires you for you to do. And we got to be willing to take it as the Lord gives it to us. Amen? Because, you know, for Jesus, he says, I got a lot of work to do and I must finish it. That's the kind of attitude we must have. Yes, Lord, there is many work. Because the Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are what? Few. There's not many out there that's willing to do the work of the Lord. And God says, I called you. I know you can do this, child. We got to go out and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. Because then we don't have to worry about the harvest. You know, the very fact is that the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. No, the workers should be many. As we say, Lord, I'll do whatever you ask. And I'm going to tell you, in heaven, right, we're going to have such satisfying and enriching work that you can't wait to get back to the very work that you've been doing. I mean, it's just like you could rest and then, you know, you could say, okay, I want to get back. You know, it's going to be like this all the time. And it's never going to be tedious. It's not going to be boring work. And whatever the work that we're going to be doing in heaven, I'm going to tell you, you're always going to want to do more. You know, the Lord says, okay, you can just rest, child. No, Lord, I want to do more. Can you imagine? Imagine if every employee was like that, going to the manager or to the boss. Oh, I got enough rest already. 2 minutes enough. Okay, tell me what to do now. Imagine, we would have such a productive society if there were no more people who had this kind of lazy attitude. Every day we give our best unto the Lord. Amen? And imagine in heaven, all the work that we put our hands and our minds to, guess what? They're going to always reap eternal benefits and blessings. Whatever you put your mind and heart to in heaven, guess what? It will always have eternal value because guess what? You're in eternity. So God's going to see to it, whatever you do in heaven, it's always going to be great success, great victory as you just keep doing what the Lord's called you to do. I want you to look at point number three now. It says in heaven, we are guaranteed to have a great reunion. Oh, I love that. With our loved ones who also believe in Jesus and have wonderful fellowship with the saints of old. You know, I got to tell you, scripture gives us no indication that we will have a total loss of memory, causing us not to recognize our family and friends. Because some people, they actually believe that. So when you're in heaven, you're going to forget who you are. It's like you're a new person, you're a new identity. No. Remember, like I said earlier, it's just the fact that you're relocating. You're still the same you, but your soul, your spirit is going to relocate to a place where God wants to reward you. And you know, Paul, he spoke often to the believers in the city of Thessalonica, and he always talked about the very fact that, you know, he keeps telling them, we're going to be in heaven together. And it never occurred to them that, occurred to him that you know, we're not going to know each other. No, he was saying, in heaven, we're going to have such a grand time, you know. And in fact, you know, if we didn't know our loved ones in heaven, you know, Paul wouldn't have mentioned time and time again the very fact that in the afterlife, right? I mean, when after you die, right, we're going to have a wonderful reunion with our loved ones. I want you to look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell this to you directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from the graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever, so encourage each other with these words. Wow, imagine the very fact we're all always going to be together. As believers, the ones who believe in Christ, the ones who have passed on, we don't know if we're actually going to be meeting Jesus in the air. You know, we might be gone by then. We don't know when he's coming back. But the very fact is, every single person who had said yes to Jesus Christ, who believed in him, oh, we're going to be together. Can you imagine? You're going to see all your loved ones in heaven, and you're going to recognize them. You're going to know them. You're going to hug them once again. Yeah, because I'm going to tell you, you know, I'll just share this with you. You know, it's not, like I told you earlier, sometimes, you know, I forget that my mom is no longer here. And, you know, the very fact that I just remember that last day, I just knew in my heart I wanted to give her such a big hug. I just hugged her, and I gave her a kiss on her forehead, and I said, I love you, Mom. And you know, my brother did the same. We were just loving on her. But, you know, I miss that. But I know I'm going to be doing that in heaven. Except the feelings that we're going to get is going to be even more magnified. You know why? Because, remember, God is love. And where we're going, you know, the person, or not say the person, but the very fact, the one who owns this kingdom is who? It's God. It's Jesus, right? And so we're going to love in ways that you never experienced before. Your love will be so captivated. I mean, it's going to be like, oh, man, to the one trillionth degree. I mean, that's the kind of love you're going to be able to express to all the brothers and sisters, to all the loved ones that will be in heaven. Just imagine that. And you know, it's going to be such a wonderful, grand year of a time, knowing that this is going to be forever. God promises us that we're going to be in this place forever. And you know, the writer of Hebrews, he gives us one of the most fascinating glimpses that we have of heaven in Hebrews chapter 12. And it's a passage that provides a list of heaven's inhabitants, okay? So I want you to look at Hebrews 12, 22 to 24. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. No, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the what? The heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. Now, let me ask you something. This group that we just read, right? Do you find anyone there that may be boring? Okay. With thousands of angels, you know, assembly of God's firstborn children, you know, you're going to come to God himself, and you're going to have the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven that have been made perfect, and you're going to come to Jesus. Can you just imagine being in an environment like that? It blows my mind, right? But we're all going to be together in heaven. It won't make any difference when we live on earth. We're all going to be together. Imagine being best friends with people that we've only read about in the Bible or in the books. And I can't wait to sit down with Moses and say, hey, what was that really like when you saw the Red Sea part like that? Can you describe that to me? Imagine, you're going to be sitting down with Moses and Abraham and Daniel. You can ask him, so what was it like when all those lions were there in the den? Imagine, you're going to be able to talk story with them. No kidding. This is what the Hebrews chapter 12 is telling us. You're going to be with them. You can talk with them. You can just snack with them and just have good time with them and just listen to all the stories they may have for you, right? And just imagine, you know, being best friends, you know, with people whom we only just read about, you know, just read about in the Bibles or in the books. And wow, just imagine, this is for eternity. You can just go from one person to another, and you're going to be able to talk story with like St. Augustine, you know, George Mueller, Martin Luther, and William Tyndale, all great Bible scholars. And you're just going to be sitting down with them, and you're going to be making friends with them. Can you imagine? You know, even with the missionary heroes like Hudson Taylor or David Livingstone. Imagine, you can just sit down with them and tell them, you know, just listen to them and let them tell you about all the amazing things that they did while they were here on earth. And, you know, heaven is going to be such an incredible time with unlimited fellowship with people. So once again, how can you get bored? I mean, you're going to be able to sit down with all these great men and women of faith. And they lived in all ages. And, you know, the very fact is, you remember the Lord Jesus when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration? That's just a glimpse. You remember who he talked with? You guys remember Moses and Elijah, right? And the 12 disciples just listened to the conversation of Jesus with these prophets, with Moses and Elijah. And just imagine, the Bible also talks about we're going to have fellowship with angels. Wow, can you imagine what that's going to be like, you know? And it's going to be like such a wonderful time that you're going to be having in heaven. And we got to understand something. You know, the relationships among God's people will resume in ways that are even better than what we've known here. Because, you know, you can say, oh, my relationships, you know, with other people here are okay, right? But here's the thing. You know, in heaven, there's not going to be any misunderstandings. There's not going to be any tiffs or any tensions among us. You know, our relationship, you know, with everyone there will be so much healthier in heaven than here. Okay? Down here, would you say sometimes we get problems, you know, with our closest friends? You know what I'm talking about, right? Someone may say something to you, right? And you aren't sure how to interpret it, so you react to it. And sometimes, guess what? We overreact, don't we? And you say to yourself, I wonder what he meant by that. Or I wonder why did she say that to me, right? And sometimes, yeah, we get these kinds of feelings and we have these negative feelings even towards our loved ones. Well, I'm going to tell you, in heaven, there's none of that. You're not going to have to worry about that. Because our relationships will be honest, open. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be loving. It's uncomplicated by sin or our sinful natures. Because, you know, in heaven, we're going to dwell with God, the angels, and with one another in perfect Everyone say perfect. Perfect compatibility and genuine intimacy. There's not going to have any, we're not going to have any negative feelings towards others. I know that's kind of hard to really grasp, right? Can you just imagine, really going to live like in heaven? You're going to go, wow, I'm so glad it's like this. And we know this for a fact that this is going to happen. You know why? I got scriptures right there to tell us this. Let's read it together. Revelation 21, 23 to 27. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. And the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of the day, because there is no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Okay, let's really read loud, nice and loud. Really get this next scripture in 27. Ready? Go. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written there? Yeah, it is. You got to have that perfect assurance. You got to say, yes, Pastor, my name is there. You got to know that because you accepted Christ into your heart. So yes, your name is written there. And guess what? Nothing evil. In this new Jerusalem, which is our final and eternal home called heaven, right? Guess what? No evil. What does it say there? Nothing evil will be able to enter in. So you're not going to have any evil thoughts, no evil intents in your heart. As you enter in, guess what? You're going to be perfect as God is perfect because he made you in his perfect image. Amen? This is only in heaven that we can experience this. I want you to take a look at the bottom line verses now. And you got to understand, in heaven, our longing for home will be filled. You're going to go, yes, I'm finally home. I mean, I know that's what I'm going to say. You know, because I can go home to where I live, you know, here on this planet Earth. That's not my real home. My real home is in heaven. And I know God, he's preparing that for me, right? And whatever he's called me to do here on this planet Earth, I'm going to put my whole heart into it. Amen? Because that's what he wants me to do. And you know, just imagine when we're there in heaven, you know, Father God will forever make you feel welcome. Because when you're there, it's never like, oh, you know, a situation where God says, oh, when is Bugga going home? No. Every day you will feel so welcome. I mean, God will do whatever it will take to let you know how you are so deeply loved by him. That you are so welcome. That he's so happy that you are going to be forever with him. But, you know, meanwhile, while we're still here on this planet Earth, we got to patiently await that day when we're going to be forever changed. Because when we're in heaven, we're not going to be the same. Don't ever think, okay, I'm just going to go in heaven just like the way I am. No, you're going to be perfect in the eyes of God. I want you to look what it says in Romans 8, 22 to 23. Read it with me. Ready? Go. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of the future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies that he has promised us. Wow. You gotta read this scripture over and over, and you gotta go, wow. You know, but it's true, right? Every day while we're still on this planet Earth, we're gonna grow. And the more you understand the whole idea of what God desires for us in heaven, you know, your spirit is going to grow. I mean, you're going to go, oh, I can't wait, you know. But you realize at the same time, God has so much for you to do while on this planet Earth. But, you know, it's like it says here, you're going to be groaning. Your spirit is going to be growing, just waiting and just wanting that day when you're going to be standing before Jesus. But it says here, you know, the very fact, it says here, we will wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children. So the question is, how will we know when we have actually these full rights as his children? Well, let me tell you, very simple. You're going to know that you have these very full rights as God's adopted children when you become like his son, Jesus Christ. I'm talking just like Jesus, in body and in spirit. And this can only happen when you're in heaven, because we can never attain perfection while we are here on this planet Earth, but in heaven, you will. And that's how you will know that you have been given full rights as a child of God. Amen? You have been given full rights. And you're going to know that, wow, when you're in heaven, suddenly you're going to realize my body isn't the same. My thinking isn't the same. You're going to realize, yes, I'm perfect in the very eyes of God. And you know, Solomon had indicated in his book of Ecclesiastes that the human heart will always have this yearning for more than what this world has to offer. Because the more you come to know God, the more you come to know Jesus, you realize, nah, this can't be, that's all to it. The more you read the scriptures, the more you get into the very words of God. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, you're going to get so excited about what God has in store for you. Because you're going to realize, wow, God really wants to lavish his goodness upon me. And, you know, just to think about that, man, I want to live my life fully devoted to him. And you should have this same kind of desire. Because if you do, oh, I'm going to tell you, eternity, like I said, doesn't start when you get to heaven. It starts right now, and he wants to start blessing your life right now. And look what it says in Ecclesiastes 3, 10 to 12. Let's read together. Ready? Go. I have seen the burden God had placed on all of us, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted what? Eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So I concluded there is nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. Get that. Solomon says, God has planted what in our hearts? Eternity. Just don't stay on the temporal. Just don't look and see what's around you and think, okay, that's it. No, know that God planted eternity in your heart because he knows your heart belongs to him. So for only the believer can we experience this. I want you to understand, for the believer who knows him, eternity is planted deep in your heart. And you're always going to yearn for it. You're always going to go, ah, yes, Lord, I can't wait. But meanwhile, Lord, I want to give my best for you. Because when we get to heaven, that ache is going to vanish. When we get to heaven, everything we do will bring us fulfillment. When we get to heaven, everything we do will bring joy. We'll be home. We'll be home with Papa God. And we'll never get bored in heaven, because heaven is going to be the most exciting, adventure-filled place your mind can ever imagine, multiplied by a trillion times over. That's how it's going to be in heaven. And so something to look forward to. But, you know, knowing that while we're still here on this earth, let's get excited about the work that God's called us to do. Amen? And I could like to conclude by showing you this video that really touches on everything that we talked about today. Benson, can you go ahead and play that?
Of all the fears that grip our hearts, no fear is greater than the fear of death. There are those who will tell you that death is a natural part of life. But if death is just a part of life, then why does it cause us such anger and sorrow? When God created humanity, He intended for us to grow more and more beautiful over time. But in one tragic moment, we unleashed sin into the world, and everything broke, including our bodies. Death is the ultimate consequence of sin, and it fills God's heart with anger and sorrow even more than it does ours, because death was not a part of God's original plan. The Bible says that when Jesus approached the tomb of his friend Lazarus, he quaked with rage, and his eyes filled with tears. He was overwhelmed by the suffering caused by death, a curse we had brought upon ourselves. Death's curse was physical. Both the world and our bodies were decaying. But death's curse was also spiritual, eternally separating humanity from their Creator, the source of all light, love, and life. But because of God's amazing love, He chose to surrender all power and glory to rescue us from death. Jesus, God's only Son, was expelled from the presence of the Father and thrust into complete darkness in our place. He took humanity's curse upon Himself, breaking death's grip on us and purchasing humanity a place at the Father's side forever. A day is coming when the true King will return at last to restore the world to its full glory, and us with it, renewing both soul and body. You'll still be yourself, but even more so, you'll finally be the real you. On that day, we'll look at each other and say, "I always knew you could be like this. I saw glimpses of the real you, flashes of it, and now here you are." Our future is not an ethereal, impersonal one. You're not going to float through the clouds. You're going to walk. You're going to eat. You're going to laugh. You're going to hug. You're going to sing in realms and degrees of power and joy that you cannot now imagine. Some will tell you not to fear death because it's part of life. But Jesus says not to fear death because it's been defeated. And the day will come when Jesus embraces you with his nail-scarred hands and says, "Welcome home. I have so much to show you."
And we all will experience that day. Amen. And you know, when we're in heaven, like the video just told us, our true self will come forth. It's the very person that God desired us to be. The very fact we know we can't be perfect on this planet Earth, but when we're in heaven, when God sees us, yes, He sees His perfect child. Because you are everything that He intended you to be. Amen. So you know, like we just read in the scriptures, you know, with Solomon, he says, yes, God, He put that in your heart, that desire to look upon eternity, to yearn for eternity, because we know we're eventually going to get there, you know. We know no one lives forever on this planet Earth. No one lives forever on this in this physical body. And I can hear someone say, "Thank God." Because yeah, sometimes I wake up, I can hear creaking noises, like my brother was talking about, you know, last week. Sometimes we hear I get pain in my hand, my joints. I go, "How come, Johnny? How come I get pain in my hand now? I'm getting old or what?" You know, and we realize, thank God, we're not gonna have these bodies. You know, in heaven we're gonna have brand new, glorified bodies. Bodies that never will experience pain. You're never gonna know what pain is anymore. You're not going to know what suffering is anymore. It will be non-existent. Because you know why? Because God wants it to be like that for you. Because He loves you that much. Amen? Let's go ahead and let's bow our heads. Let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message that you spoke through me today, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this message. Because, Lord, you know there are times I still think of Mom. But Father, you give me peace. You give me comfort. And I know you help me to prepare this message because it has given me just great comfort, knowing that my mom is in your hands right now. And my mom is running around. She couldn't walk, you know, before she passed on. But I know she's running. Oh, she's running. And she's doing the very things that she was able to do when she was in her teens. And I'm sure she can even do it even much better now. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us this eternal hope. You have given us eternal life. And yet our heart, we yearn for it. But you may be saying, child, I want you to be here, but I got so much for you to do, so much hearts that I need you to touch while you're here on this planet Earth. And we got to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing. Because, yeah, that day will come for all of us. We're going to see Jesus face to face. And what a glorious day that will be. Right now, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I kind of realized as I heard today's message, I knew in my heart, I kind of lost that excitement. I didn't have that kind of yearning that the scriptures talked about. But I want God to renew my mind, to renew my heart. So once again, that fire will just come forth once again in my heart, that I will desire to serve him, desire to give my best unto God. Because one day, I know in heaven, I'm going to be doing even greater things. And if this is your heart's desire, saying, yes, Lord, that is me. I'm sorry, Lord, for not having that kind of zeal that I once had, Lord. But I want that fire to be reignited in my heart once again. Because I want to give my best unto you. If this is the cry of your heart right now, can you just raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Praise God. Anyone else saying, Lord, go ahead and just reignite that fire. Go ahead, Lord, reignite that fire in my heart. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands, Father. Father, I pray that truly you will reignite every heart that is in this room, Lord. I'll reignite it, Lord. Let that flame burn so brightly for you. Because, Lord, we want the whole world to see this flame that is so bright for you. And we know that we're going to experience that day. One day we're going to be standing before you. And you're going to see that flame in our hearts. And you're going to say, well done, my faithful child. You did what I asked of you. Welcome, welcome to the home of Father God. Lord, we are so desiring that day, Father. But meanwhile, Lord, just continue just to help us to live a life fully devoted, fully dedicated unto you. Because, Lord, we love you. We want to honor you. We want to glorify your most holy name. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray all these things. And all my brothers and sisters say, amen. Amen.